This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Yeah, hour number two of the show starts right now at The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel on an FDF Friday in the big city. You, the suspects, having some fun. Stay tuned for a second clip from our comedian of the week at 2:15 and the final one at 3:15. So you got that to look forward to. And we were talking about the pre-festivities yesterday as we were killing time waiting to go to the party. And someone shushed you.
Yeah, I got shushed.
And you got upset about it.
I don't like getting shushed as a grown-ass man. Just like I don't like having my spelling and grammar corrected on the internet as a grown-ass man. So somebody shushed me, and I was like, well, I'm just going to leave.
You do know there's a tweet coming now that just
says, I don't care. That's okay. They can get this block. So I got shushed and was like, well, I'm just going to leave then. I don't want to hang out around here getting shushed the whole damn time. So I left and went to Starbucks over there, the Post Oak and Westheimer.
Uh-huh.
I'd never been to that Starbucks before. It's a very nice Starbucks.
It's big, yeah.
It's a big Starbucks right there by the Container Store.
Mm-hmm.
Pull in, take my backpack in, sit down at a little two-person table by the window, and there's a dude sitting behind me. Cool. No big deal. So I'm just hanging out. You know, I'm sitting on the internet for a minute and decide maybe I'll start my taxes or whatever. I don't know. I'm working on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm like, well, let me go get a mocha so I can have something to drink, get a little energy before this party. So I leave, I walk over, you know, and I left my laptop on the table, but I washed, right? So I go over there, and then I look up, and the dude that was behind me got up and left. And, of course, I'm all paranoid, so I'm like, he better not try to snatch my laptop and run. So I'm watching that.
Mm-hmm.
I look back, I wait, I get my drink. And then as I'm walking back, I see now there are two dudes sitting behind me, right? So it's two tables next to each other by the window, and these two dudes are behind me. No big deal, whatever. I sit down, I start working on the computer, and I'm doing whatever I'm doing, and I start hearing. I was like, what the hell is that noise? And I turn around, and both these dudes are on their phones playing video games.
With the sound up.
With the volume all the way up. Not barely where you just hear pew, 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 every once in a while. It sounds like World War III is going on at the table next to me. It is just, it's so loud. So I'm trying to be cool about it. So I just turn around and look.
Give him the death glance once.
I didn't even death glance. I just turned around like, hey, I can hear all that.
It's still a death glance coming from Barry.
Yes, absolutely it is. That's very absolutely right.
They don't even budge. They don't even see it because they're so into the game, right?
Yeah, they're about to go to level 6.
So I turn back around. Okay, maybe they just didn't want to acknowledge me and make eye contact. So maybe they'll turn it down. No. Couple more minutes. So now I go. And I slap the table and turn around because maybe they just were so into the game they didn't realize I turned around to look at them. So now I give it a little slap and they turn around. Nothing. They don't acknowledge that I'm even at the table next to them. One more time. I'm going to try this one more time.
One more game.
So I turn around and I go, nothing. They are just steadily fighting this war, which, by the way, is really ironic because they're French.
I'm surprised that
they just didn't surrender in the game and just be done with it.
But you found this out later, they're French.
Well, no, because they're talking to each other.
Oh.
However French people sound. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know what they're saying.
That was PC. Go ahead.
But they sound French.
Okay.
So I'm like, I don't know. So now I'm like, okay, I'm done. So I stand up and I turn around and I go, hey, no one wants to hear you play your video games, guys. Why don't you put some headphones in and respect the rest of the people around you?
Uh-huh, whatever.
I was like, bro, you're a grown-ass man. We're all adults here trying to do something adult, and you're sitting there playing a video game on speaker. How rude are you? And then it dawned on me, they're French. They're very rude. They're like the rudest people on the planet. What am I thinking? Of course they're going to be rude.
That would have been fantastic if they shushed you.
I just, oh.
I'd have beat the hell out of him. I'd have been in jail for beating up two French dudes. I'd have been in jail. Y'all had to come get me for the party because I would have been in jail for assaulting two French guys.
I just would have been.
He was beating them with their cell phone. Yeah, I was. In the mouth because you shushed me with your mouth.
You said all of this to them.
I was so pissed. I did.
Because I would have liked to have just been at the table across the way. Because
I thought y'all were
going to
show up when they were there. And I would be like, you see those dudes? Like, oh, yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And he just goes, I don't know what he said.
You got no reaction from anybody else in the area?
Oh, no. One lady looked up like, like, she was sitting there. And you could tell it was bothering her, too.
Okay.
And
how old are these guys?
I mean, maybe late 20s.
That old?
Yeah. Late 20s, maybe early 30s. One of them had like a furry coat on, which I should have known. Okay, Euro. Tone it down.
You're making sure you don't leave any stone unturned. You're just defending everybody.
So I stood up and I wished one of them would have said something, but I was like, y'all are rude as hell. And I just closed my laptop and I went to another table. And then when I was at the table, then they decided they wanted to make eye contact with me because I was across the room now and I could see them every once in a while. They'd look over at me and I would be like, what, bitch? What? Nothing. Just sit over there and play your little fake war games.
One of these days, Nick, we're going to show up at
the
work.
The French suck at war. So I hope y'all are practicing.
We're going to show up for work. Barry's not going to show up for work. We're going to find out that he got into a knockdown dragout at some retail establishment.
Let's be real. There is no ruder person on this planet than speakerphone person.
I would agree with that.
Can we not all agree on that? And I know I'm going to get a bunch of texts and tweets about being grumpy, get off my lawn guy. But, oh, my God, if you take a phone call on your phone, and I told you all the story when I was at Chick-fil-A, right? And the dude was FaceTiming somebody. I was like, hey, tell her I said hi. He goes, what? I was like, tell her I said hello. He goes, do you know her? I said, no, but if I'm going to have to be in on the conversation, I might as well be able to have a say in it. And the lady that worked at Chick-fil-A was like, thank you.
You're going to get shot.
I'm just the guy, like, everyone is thinking it. I'm just the one that's going to say something.
And you're going to get shot.
Nah, I'm not going to get shot. I'm like, bro, if there was somebody with like 19 tattooed tears on their face, and I'd be like, hey, turn your phone off, pal. I'd be like, I'm just going to move. I'm not that dumb.
You got a face on your Adam's apple. You're not going to do it.
Yeah. What? Are you playing video game noises?
No, not at all.
It's different now. I'm not trying to focus and concentrate. Oh, I was pissed, though. And it makes me so mad. Like on a bus or just somewhere in public.
But they weren't American, right?
No. They were not. I don't know.
And how could you tell?
You just want to, oh, it's on you.
It's so funny because I've totally annoyed somebody for doing
that. It's like Pepe Le Pew was in Starbucks.
baby, you are so firm and fully packed. Come, let us fly to the Casbah. Yeah, they were. I'm assuming they were French. I could be wrong. Boy. I don't know. Maybe they were Moroccan. I don't know what it was.
Oh, you're just rolling.
It just sounded French to me.
Some of the Moroccans speak French.
Do they?
Absolutely.
See? That's what I'm saying.
They don't all speak Arabic. No. A good portion of the country, all they speak is French.
See?
Facts.
Joe, hop on board, buddy. I got you.
Ain't no seats I'm taking on that one. I'm letting you ride alone on that one. I'm just like,
I was angry, though. I was very mad. I would have fought those French dudes right there in that Starbucks.
The whole thing started because you got shushed. And you got
That's right.
of the fact that you and Trey were in a deep discussion.
Yeah.
So that was something that
I was hipping Trey to something that had happened. And we'll get to that next segment because I think the people need to hear this.
Yeah. It was weird because we were in a production meeting yesterday, right? And we were getting ready to go on it was 12:55.
Mm-hmm.
And that's normally when we pick up our stuff and head to the studio. Mm-hmm. And Michael Carroll and
this is a beautiful thing.
Well, no, those guys said to us, hey, before you go on the air, you got to hear this. And we're like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
and
what
they
were
like, yeah, because we don't have enough time.
We're busy.
We
got to
get in there. And then it turned out that it was another magic moment from Trey.
It was.
That's all we're going to say for now.
He was doing, do you want to do it now, Nicholas? Do we have time? So he was producing for Glenn Davis on Soccer Matters.
Yeah.
And Glenn was talking and Trey got confused on the mic button, I guess. And this is what happened.
It was unbelievable. Great table I was at. We had Van Chancellor, the former Houston Comets.
Yeah.
DeMarcus.
Wow. What was that?
Great table I was at. We had Van Chancellor, the former Houston Comets.
Yeah.
My goodness. It's like he just had an accident in the producer's room.
Yeah. So Trey got confused on the mic. And then Michael Carroll and Tyler play this for us. Tyler, I think, is the one that found it. Then Michael Carroll, the genius that he is,
yes,
best in the business at production, Michael Carroll, without a doubt, takes what Trey and does this with it. Oh my God.
Somewhere Trey hates us right now.
So beautiful. Oh my God. Can that be our new theme song on the show? Can that please be our new? What up, H-Town? Just forget the... Okay, line up.
No.
Just,
segue into it. Play the open, and then before I say what up, H-Town, we start jamming into this.
Oh, my God. We just have to end the show every day with this. Just put it on a loop. Well, I didn't know they sniffed their own farts with this in the background.
And this also gets to... This also gets to Barry being Barry, with all the fights with the French guys and all the things you just heard about and the not being shushed. The other thing was, you were going to make sure the first time you saw Trey, without telling him what happened...
Yeah.
You were going to poke the bear. You were going to be like, hey, Trey, recently, have you had any times where you either messed hit up the microphone when you didn't think it? And he's like, no, I don't think so. Not for at least 6 months. And he's like, did you do Soccer Matters last night, Trey? Well, yeah, but I didn't do anything last night. Oh, did you?
Oh, but you did, though.
And then when you told him that he didn't believe you and he got belligerent, he got upset, and then you wouldn't let it go.
And that's when we got shushed. Good times.
Yeah.
And then I had to fight French guy. Get out of here, you clowns.
Oh, it's just another Friday on The Usual Suspects. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5.
Need a new restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sharara.
And we get there, these people are nice, nice white country folk. They fed us, me and my girlfriend, all the food we wanted. And they were playing country music. I like country music. Some of it I don't. They were playing a song I don't like called Copperhead Bro. You may have heard of it. Man, white people love this. If you don't know what Copperhead Bro is, it's essentially the Caucasian Macarena. Copperhead Bro to white people is what the Cupid Shuffle is to middle-aged black women. It gets them moving. That song hit. 20 white people jumped out of their seats so fast you'd have thought Rosa Parks just sat at the front of their bus.
That's our comedian of the week, Nathaniel Amador. He's a funny dude.
Oh, yeah.
He's working with Barry this weekend.
Yeah, Fusion on Saturday. Shout out to Eric Resendez. He just said he picked up 4 tickets. His wife has been to a show. Said she had a good time when she came to see me last time, so they're doing it again. So come out. There are a few tickets left, apparently. Okay. Not many, though. I think 15.
Well, and plus there's, I guess, Good Eats right next door.
Yeah, so. Somebody said there's a banging taqueria next to Fusion, so that might happen. Yeah.
So here's the thing. So what happened on Soccer Matters. Do you think that Soccer Matters would ever do bump back or bump in with this?
No way.
We're the only show.
Because Trey's the producer. He ain't bumping back with this song.
But I think that's the beauty of us. Because if you want to get down and into a serious sports topic, we can break it down for you.
Sure.
But we're also willing to have enough fun with the show and with the suspects to just... make an FEF Friday for fun and do something like that, because that's hilarious.
That was fun.
Yeah.
I'm so glad.
So we get a lot of people chiming in.
I'm so glad they played
that.
Yeah, text line's going crazy. Someone said you sound like Vince Vaughn. Lotto said you sound like Vince Vaughn.
Okay.
I'm not hearing it, but okay.
At least I'm not hacking up a lung into a washcloth.
Shut up.
As you turn and cough. That's great.
Now, Amazon B's brother texted and said, so wait, let me get this straight. Barry got shushed which made him leave to go to a Starbucks where he shushed two French Moroccans.
That's a fair point.
Interesting turn of events.
Can't agree more.
Okay, both of you and Amazon B's brother can go to hell because I didn't shush them. I said very specifically about the shushing that if they were to come up to me and say, Barry, there's a meeting going on the over there, can you be quiet? I would have been like, oh, my bad. But just come up and go, shh.
Wait, come on. You were grunt and pound guy first.
Yeah, but I didn't shush them.
So what's the difference between
to get their
shush
attention.
Or?
No, but because I'm trying to get your attention. I'm trying to get their attention.
Shush
like,
got your
hey,
attention.
Guys, I can hear you losing another war.
Shush got your attention.
But that's shushing me. That's the difference.
There's no difference.
Yeah, there is a big difference.
Okay.
A huge difference. Also, I'm in a public place. Why do you have your speakerphone on? I did not shush them, though. I asked them to put in their headphones. Like I said, if somebody would have came up and said, hey, there's a meeting going on next door, you guys lower your volume, I'd have been like, oh, okay, my bad. But just to come up and shh. All right, sneaky snake, I get it. I'm out. I'm not doing this. Barry, do you keep your pistol on you? I'm worried about your safety.
I am, too.
Yeah.
Between the parking lot Chick-fil-A incident.
I have my concealed carry, so yes, I pretty much always carry.
Okay, good. Because yeah. I was going to say, between the parking lot at Chick-fil-A and this one, and then now we're finding there's other ones, mm-hmm. I'm starting to get a little concerned.
Did I tell you I yelled at the mail lady the other day at Chick-fil-A?
At the mail lady?
God, what yelling at everybody?
What, she put the hazards
well,
on
and park outside the door? You pulled into a handicap.
She's just dropping the mail. She's only going to be there for a few minutes.
I didn't know that, Joel. I felt like an idiot. So actually, it wasn't the handicap. It was the yellow stripes that lead to the walkway to cross.
She wasn't even in the...
She pulled into that and hopped out. I go, that's not a parking spot! As I was walking to my car... And literally, when I got to the car and looked back, she was coming out of the Chick-fil-A. She literally just dropped the mail off. And I was like, all right, maybe that was a quick trigger
Did
on that
Did she shush
one.
You? She definitely no. shushed you.
But I was like, maybe I shouldn't have pulled the trigger that fast. I should have given her the benefit of the doubt.
You pulled the trigger?
And yelled at her for parking there. I was like, okay, obviously
I'm legitimately
that was an overreaction on my part because she had to drop the mail off. Listen, man. You got to respect the parking lot, okay? I'm like Paul Blart of parking lot.
You're going to get shot.
I'm the Paul Blart of parking lots. All you got to do is just park where you're supposed to. Respect the handicap, and we're good.
Need I remind you and the listeners, you're also the guy that counts everybody's items in the express lane at the grocery store.
Bitch, if you get in with 16 and the 15 or less, you're going to get told. I'm going to tell you, hey, that's 16, bro.
You're also the yell at the
I got 14. Give me one of those.
Parents sitting either, there in the grocery store.
Look, I got 14. You got 16. Give me one of those or get behind me.
Dude, it's not just about a gun anymore. You got to get one of those full body armor suits.
My wife hates going anywhere with me.
Oh, I can see why.
But, I mean, you know, sometimes you got to let people are
sometimes,
rude.
Sometimes? How about every time?
People are rude. People,
when is it their time? You're yelling at somebody.
I love that. Y'all are putting this on me for calling out people that are rude and don't follow the norms of society. But I'm the problem? I'm the problem.
There's other people that noticed it too.
There's two French dudes in a fur coat playing Call of Duty at full blast, and I'm the weirdo.
Yeah.
Well, that's your opinion.
And what did they say to you?
I was supposed to be I don't know what they were saying. I don't even, honest to God, I don't know if it was French. It just sounded like it. Because there was a lot of hard vowels.
At least we don't have a large.
We're going to miss you when you get shot.
Yeah, no doubt. I was watching on TV that this guy, there's a couple of guys recently. The one guy that they found out was the, I forget what he was, the pillowcase rapist or something like that. But they're so worried about people that are still ticked off 20 years later at this guy, they're going to kill him. That when he came to face the judge, he was in full bulletproof garb from the neck down.
Yeah.
I'm like, boy, if they make that in like coveralls, Barry needs some of those because he's going to protect his ass.
Somebody texted the show and just put Selena cups. All right, let's not go into my past and start.
Selena cups was another argument when he was. Boy, see, we've been through this rodeo enough times to where Nick and I are genuinely
gonna
concerned
get shot.
For
no,
you getting shot.
I'm not. My wife. Y'all are like my third wives. She says the same thing. She says the same thing. You're going to get shot. And I'm like, well.
Barry.
By the way, somebody said I'm somebody, St. Patrick said, I'm in my office dying laughing. And then someone texted and said, how can I get that Trey thing as my ringtone? First of all, no one uses a ringtone anymore. What are you, 2001?
Well, there's a lot of people.
No one uses ringtones anymore.
That would be a weird ringtone anyway.
Yeah, it would.
But if you were in the grocery store just shopping for groceries, it's to try to be in the grocery police, you'd realize there's still a lot of people, especially older people, that still use a ringtone. Yeah.
Really?
By the way.
Yeah. So great. Love you, Trey. You're the best. You're gold, buddy. Absolute
if
gold.
If he hasn't interacted or tweeted at us, then he definitely...
He did. He was like, I was trying to say, oh, yeah, and it came out too fast.
Oh, yeah. That's just Trey being Trey.
He responded.
That's fantastic.
I was just trying to say, oh, yeah, but I said it really quickly.
So just more...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You keep your phone on vibrate?
I do.
I do too.
Yeah.
Nor
or
problem.
Off.
Does Nor
just silent.
Oh, I do too. Does Nor have a problem with that?
Not really.
Nothing could drive Lisa nuts more.
Because you don't respond?
Well, because I don't respond to every single call. Like if I'm at the grocery store and I put my wallet in my pocket as well as the phone.
Yeah.
If I don't feel it. Yeah. And she just, you have to respond every single time. What if something happened to the kids? I go, you're at home. Yeah, I know you got the kids.
You're a damn adult. You do handle it.
Yeah. She goes, you need it? I go, no, I don't need. I'm not going to be that guy that has. And I said, when we're on the air and stuff like that, you got to have the phone turned off anyway. I just don't turn it back on. I'm not going to turn the ringer on. I never have. She goes, You're being incognito in case the wrong person calls. You don't want me to know. I go, no, it has nothing to do with that.
Oh, my God. By the way, Adam on Twitter said, do you have a link to tickets? They never gave me one. I asked for the Saturday show. Just show up at the door or call Fusion or, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the other links where people were buying them from. Hit up Eric Resendez on Twitter. I don't know. I don't know how that's going down, to be honest with you. But I don't know that there's that many left. Maybe like 15.
Good tip for the fans. All right, so that's the first half of the show. Second half right around the corner. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show right now on The Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5 on an F. Yeah, Friday. Had two of the clips already for our Comedian of the Week, Nathaniel Amador. If you missed them, go back and check it out. Also, got one more coming up at 3:15 this afternoon. So hopefully you will enjoy as much as we do his comedy, as he's working with Barry this weekend. So that's some good stuff there. This Trey thing is taking a life of its own.
Well, you know it would.
Yep. Your Astros, by the way. Are still hot and heavy on the trail of a new manager.
Yes.
So Bannister was in, the former Rangers manager, the U of H product, the guy with local ties, the other day. They've had Dusty Baker. They've had Buck Showalter. They've had John Gibbons. They've had your boy Brad Ausmus.
Yep.
And he's in today. So from the reports coming out today, Astros are still very fond of Brad Ausmus. Obviously, fan favorite, loved in the community. So he's got that going for him. And from an analytical standpoint, and we talked about this when I said my leading candidate when we first saw the opening was Showalter, and you said Brad Ausmus. The one thing that Brad has that I don't know that Buck or Dusty have, and that is an ability to embrace and use analytics.
Yes.
And I think, you know, when the Angels hired him, it was all about the fact that he was the assistant GM. He was a complete analytics guy. He understood it. He could use it. And that was one of the things that really attracted them to making him their field manager until Joe Maddon became available.
Yeah. I think now that I'm seeing it shake out, it's down to, I think the, so Jeff Bannister was here.
And I think he's up there.
I think, I wouldn't mind that move either. He's feisty. I remember when he was at Texas, and you know he was hated, and him and AJ would yell at each other.
I was just going to say he would go right at AJ.
And I, but you know what? I want that in the manager.
Uh-huh.
And I think he was good at what he did while he was up there. Now, granted, you know they won when he was there. But they didn't never get over the hump, but they won.
I look at the guy that I said in Showalter, and I think he becomes get off my lawn guy to the locker room. I think that you the think age so? Difference is too great.
I think Dusty might be the same way.
I think Dusty might be the opposite. I think Dusty might be a guy that like wants to fit in with the younger crowd and maybe gets a little too loose.
Dude, anyone that still chews on a toothpick.
I was just going to say the same thing.
Like the only people that chew on toothpicks are grandpas.
Yeah, I think for a lot of reasons with that young locker room, I just don't think those guys.
To me, this is the names that make the most sense right now is Brad Ausmus and Jeff Bannister.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of some people hate Brad Ausmus and jumped on me when I said it. And that's fine. That's cool.
Why? Because his two stops weren't successful enough for you. But I mean,
look. And my point was, go back and look at AJ Hinch's record in Arizona before he became the manager of the Houston
Astros. And what was he before he was a field manager? He was assistant to the general manager. So just like Ausmus, same kind of career path, same kind of guy that got his feet wet by understanding analytics.
Because guarantee you, if I would have came out, if we were doing this show back when AJ Hinch was hired, and I was like, oh, AJ Hinch, I like that hire. People would have been like, he didn't even win in Arizona. He won 44% of his games. You're a dumbass. So
I'd have just said you're a dumbass.
Well, that's probably.
I mean, I wouldn't have said what.
That would have been accurate.
Yeah.
Fairly accurate.
I mean, you're trying to get in fights.
No, I didn't need you. Hey, you and a bomber. Why don't you hang out and not...
What are you doing on the...
It's cold, why do you man. Have the hoodie on?
It's cold. I think your armpits are sweating again, so you've got the AC on like 52, because that's usually what happens. Your armpits start sweating.
I'll tell you what, though. Cam shows
the
you
nips
with
are
hat
out
on
in full force.
And hoodie over hat.
I don't care. I'm cold.
These nips on the Twitch. Full force. You got? Did that turn you on a little bit, Joel?
Not at all.
I saw you nope. Pause for the cause.
Matter of fact, I threw up in the back of my mouth a little bit. I just didn't show it.
Good times. Yeah, I don't know. So who do you think? If you had to pick right now between those four, not who you want, because we know it was Showalter, but you don't know if it's going to work out.
Yeah, I've soured
of
on
the
that.
Four. Who do you want? Who do you think the Astros are going to pick of those four? Baker, Showalter, Bannister, and all.
Okay, but can I ask a question before you? I say that? So, or I was going to say, is Joe Espada out?
Yeah. No, this but I think that they know this is a win now, and you better kind of go get a sure thing and not take a chance. See, the thing with AJ Hinch was he had the one stint in Arizona, but he was analytical, and he's young and as far as managers go. And so he could relate to the locker room, and he could grow with the team. At this point now, the team has grown.
But
you don't need a guy that's going to grow with the team. You need a guy that can get this team back to the World Series.
But the interesting thing that I'm seeing with this entire cheating scandal across baseball is that it's not just about the guys that are going to get punished or already have gotten punished. The sidebar is, if you are a coach on that staff, you're labeled. And that there's a feeling now that you're not going to get the gig, because if you did it back then, who's to say you wouldn't do it again?
So
now?
Then why would you give it to him?
So that's why I'm saying. So maybe for that reason he's out.
Yeah. Well, that'll bring up an interesting question. If you bring in one of those four guys that we just mentioned, do they keep Brent Strom?
Yeah.
Because he's on
you
that
just
staff.
Have to.
But he's on not, the cheater staff.
Right,
he's a part of the cheaters.
He was a pitching coach. So the pitchers weren't involved in all that, because the pitchers weren't going to the plate.
Yeah.
The pitchers weren't banging garbage cans.
True.
The pitchers weren't doing that kind of thing. So I don't think. And here's the thing.
When they were playing in National League cities. I'm just kidding.
All I'm saying is, we know all he's meant to this organization. And we know if there's one guy that was on the open market, other teams would want to be their pitching coach. I don't think Brent Strom is going anywhere.
I agree with that 100%.
And if I'm going to choose, I really believe for some odd reason, it just seems like they like Bannister. I think you're right. I thought right away about him getting into with AJ being feisty, but he's still, he's still in touch with the younger player too, where I think he'd do a good job.
Okay. I'm with you. I think of all those, Bannister at this point, he's got experience. He's respected. He's feisty. He's not going to take any guff from these youngsters or the other teams.
And you're going to need that, because every team's coming at you.
Right. Now the point to be made for a guy like Dusty and a guy like Buck Showalter is, because there's going to be so much controversy, they've been around. They've seen it all. They've been through everything. Who was managing Bonds when he was in San Francisco? Was Dusty there?
I think it was Bochy.
Was it Bruce Bochy?
I think.
I'll have to look. But if Dusty had experience in that era, then, which he does. Dusty was around for the steroid era.
10 seasons, 93 to 02 was Dusty Baker.
In San Francisco?
For Barry Bonds, yeah.
So he was there.
Yeah, even though Dusty Baker managed Barry Bonds for 10 seasons in San Francisco from 1993 to 2002, he never considered Bonds a future hitting coach.
But my point not
that's
about
that's random.
That
yeah,
yeah
random.
Is that he had to go through this with the media and the steroids and everything else. So at least you know he's got that experience.
Showalter had experience with either the steroid era or some
oh yeah,
other
Buck's
part
been
of
around.
With
Buck
A-Rod
went through
or
the steroid. Yeah. Buck went through the steroid. I don't know if it was with A-Rod, but he went through the steroid era as well. And that might be another thing that you look at. I mean, Ausmus went through it as a player.
That's why they got interviews like they did.
Right, but Ausmus went through it as a player. But these are two guys, two veteran managers that have been around the block. They've seen it all. They've been through controversy. I mean, what more could you want than a guy that managed Barry Bonds at the height of his career and the accusations of steroids?
Analytics
would be a good one.
That's a big one.
Yeah. But I think I'm not going to be upset if any of those four names become the next manager.
I think they got some good choices, especially because when this whole thing broke, there was a concern about, well, who are they going to get?
Right.
And so I think they do have good candidates.
Yeah. I mean, what was the Mets hire? Luis Rojas?
Yep.
Yeah, that... okay.
He's an analytics guy. He's one of their front office guys. So
great.
They got... What's weird is when it was Beltran's job...
Gabe Kapler was...
Eduardo Perez was the runner-up.
Uh-huh.
But all of a sudden, Eduardo Perez doesn't get another sniff.
That is weird.
And they go away from him. I found that interesting.
That is interesting. Yeah, I didn't realize that, but that's crazy.
All right, so we're going to continue to roll on. Lots more still to get to. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, you want to chime in, 713-780-3776. Call that number. Text that number. You can also hit us up on Twitter. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. Fitz Roofing is here in the Houston area. They cover all of Houston and the suburbs, and their only priority is to make sure that if you need anything done with your roof, a new roof or a roof repair on your house, they're going to take care of it. And they're going to do it with great customer service. They have the best ratings in the business, A+ rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. They're going to take care of you all throughout. And they're not going to be like storm chasers, deposit thieves, and sketchy roofers that take your money up front, do shoddy work, and then skip town or don't answer your calls. They are dedicated to the people of Houston. So much so that they have set up a Fitz for Families program, which means that 10% of all their profits go back into the community through a nonprofit called Fitz for Families. The money goes to help people who have financial needs and issues and can't afford the roofing repairs that they absolutely are desperate for. They take care of it because of the fact that they care. They use the best product in the business, CertainTeed Shingles, and they have the best warranties that are better than your average roofer. There's only one place to call if you need anything done with your roof. It's FITZRoofing.com or Fitz Roofing at 832-521-3001. You call, you get a free no-obligation inspection today. They come to you, they tell you what they can do, and then they go back to doing what they do so well. You want them to come back, you reach out again. They're there, and they take care of everything. Simply put, Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through. Hour number 2, 3-hour show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We were talking a little bit of baseball as... we told you who the final four looks to be in terms of Astros managerial candidates. I don't think you should close out Gibbons yet, though. I think there's a certain population within the Astros organization, a certain segment of the population that believes he would do a good job as well. Because he's had some young talent in Toronto. I've heard that. That's why I say don't discount him. He might still... And I mean, I don't want you to be shocked if he's the guy, but I think you're right. I think it's going to, and I really believe it's coming down to, we don't know if he's going, if Jim Crane's going to say, yeah, Joe Espada, you were still part of everything that went down. I can't give you this gig. Or, as we said earlier, when they first started looking for a candidate, look, there's no better guy. And maybe that's why Joe Espada didn't get the Cubs job after a second interview, mm-hmm. didn't get the Giants job after a second interview, because he knew something was coming down the pike where he might be able to capitalize and manage the team with the most talent.
Well, like I said, I think John Gibbons brings a lot to the table, but I don't know that it's not a sexy name per se. All those other names are sexy names down here too, right? Like, not that A.J. Hinch was a sexy name when they went out and got him,
right?
But Dusty Baker and Buck Showalter carry some clout. Brad Ausmus is a former Astro and a fan favorite. And Bannister is a guy in Texas, you know, hated rival, because the Rangers were so good when the Astros weren't, and they were trying to come up. So he's a Houston guy. He lives here, or he's from here. So he's got some Houston ties as well. So I think the fifth wheel in this is Gibbons, because he doesn't have any of that attached to him of that the other four do. But I think they could do a lot worse, because I think he's a good manager.
Yeah.
But I think right now I would have him fifth out of five.
And I think I tend to agree with you. And I definitely think in my mind it's Ausmus or it's Bannister. Just the way it seems like it's gone.
Okay.
So we'll see. And again, that's just completely on a limb. We don't know. We haven't heard anything, because Ausmus is actually interviewing today.
Now, interestingly enough, I was just looking at this article from Chandler Rome on the Chronicle. And the name that popped up talking about it is, remember now, Osuna was up there. Piagini was up there in Toronto
with
Gibbons. And Piagini had a quote, "I didn't have any major league experience before getting Toronto, and he was the manager, but all of my teammates really liked him when I asked about him. They would say he's a player's manager. He really cares about the players. They would say that he's not all over you, that he gives you your space and lets you do your thing. But when it's an important time to kind of insert himself, he knows when to do it. I really enjoyed playing for him." That was all Piagini.
Now let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
Take his name out of the start of that quote, right?
Uh-huh.
Put AJ Hinch there.
Exactly.
Same thing.
Yeah. Hinch was like that.
So maybe he is in it. Maybe he is going to be in
it. It could be. I mean, maybe he brings the same qualities that Hinch had that, you know, I don't know his stance on analytics. I'm not sure of that.
Maybe he'd break the camera as well as the monitors. I mean, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll see. The other thing that we were talking about was the fact that you probably need body armor, and I was telling you about the guy that was...
I don't need body armor, guys.
Because you're going to get shot.
Listen, first of all, I'm not scared of two French dudes playing Call of Duty on their iPhone. If you think for 1 second that's going to...
That's fine, but the lady in the mail truck's kicking your ass.
I'm not getting beat up by a mail lady.
Why are you underestimating the French?
Let's look at their track record.
They're neutral.
Let's look. No, they're not neutral. Let's look at their track record in when it comes to campaigns of violence. Not the best. You know who the toughest French person of all time was? Andre the Giant.
Was he French?
And it was fake.
Yeah.
Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Don't think he was French.
He wasn't?
Just because his name was Jean.
It sounds pretty French to me.
Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Yeah, it's a good call.
I thought he was... Is he not Swedish? Let's see. Now we got to look it up. How do you spell it?
Say Yannick Noah.
No. What was Jean... I thought Jean-Claude Van Damme was like... Oh, he's Belgium. He was born in Belgium.
He was born in Belgium. Does that mean he wasn't like raised in France?
What
something?
Is it? He's Belgian.
It sounds pretty French to me.
No. Now who's the racist?
Not really.
Yeah.
You he just sounds said pretty all French to me.
Euros sound alike. That's literally what you just said. All Euros, all white Europeans sound the same to you.
He said that.
Yeah.
But you said yeah.
What's that? That's just me. Talking like a French person.
That would be the equivalent of Granado playing male golf or female golf.
Not
Chinese
at all.
Golf.
Not at
and
all.
And then doing noises like different, that that he would insinuate is speaking like Chinese.
No, I don't think so.
I do.
So are we going to do male tennis player, female tennis player, food?
French cuisine.
Poisson. Female tennis player. No?
You didn't say it right either.
Oh, I did. Croissant.
Croissant. No. And we were also talking about the body armor part of this, but did you see that Antonio Brown turned himself in Florida?
Okay.
After they had...
He's a crazy person.
Well, maybe like Drew legit, Rosenhaus was
they
right.
They think he's a crazy person.
Well, that's what Drew Rosenhaus... That's why he
that's
cut
why
ties
he
with
separated,
him.
Right? Yeah. So that's why I was saying, what I'm getting to is, so he turns himself in a white suit, by the way.
Okay.
Just... Again, showing you what's going on between his ears, I don't know. But he shows up, he goes to face the judge, and he's in full body armor.
What?
He is in anti-suicide gear. He's in handcuffs. And the judge orders him to take a mental health evaluation. I'm telling you, fellas, this might be the last chance that we finally got to a point where he gets the help he needs.
I hope he does, because there's obviously, I mentioned it yesterday, the day before, but I had glanced at an article where his girlfriend came out and said he's got a mental issue.
Mm-hmm.
There is something mentally going on with him where he needs to get help. And hopefully he gets that. I mean, you know, it's you see all this behavior and you just think this is weird. And, you know, it becomes a point where it made me even wonder do we take this a step further? And I don't think this is a stretch, and I don't think this is crazy for me to be saying this, but maybe he needs to get evaluated. Maybe he needs to be looked at for CTE. Because when you start having this erratic behavior like he's having, it could be an issue where he's had one too many concussions and it's affected.
But that's what I'm saying. Mentally. He's been very, very reluctant and standoffish to say, I'm not getting any evaluations. I don't need anything. I'm fine. But whether you get to the point where you evaluate him for CTE or not, but because the judge ruled this, now he has no choice. And now maybe he gets the help he needs.
Right.
Because we've seen this where you can't just say, well, he's far too talented. It's not about how talented you are. It's about getting a guy right so that he can enjoy the rest of his life. And he's not doing consistently all these things till he or someone else gets hurt.
Yep.
You can only do the CTE evaluation until after he dies, by the way. You can't do that while you're
Well, they can test you. Well, I don't know.
Not for CTE, no. You can't do it until after you die.
Can't they do brain scans?
You can, but you can't be diagnosed.
Oh, with it until you
pass. With CTE until you've passed away and then they...
Barry was thinking Silence of the Lambs. He just thought you could take the lid off the top like Ray Liotta and just take the brain out, look at it, and put it back in.
Well, I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
No, but
I'm just saying there's got to be a way to evaluate this dude and see that there's something wrong with him mentally.
That,
and it's caused by brain trauma. Yeah. How about that? Brain trauma?
Yeah, that's the bigger thing was, you know, go in and start doing the mental eval. And as part of it, if you can see maybe he does have structurally, when you look at some x-rays and some neurological things, that maybe there is some damage. But get him the help he needs. Yeah. Because I keep going back to the last guy that everybody said, well, he's too talented. He needs some help. Guess what? Josh Gordon got help over and over and over again where they thought they were giving him enough help, and he kept having lapses and relapses and problems. And whether Antonio Brown plays another down in the NFL or not, the time has come where he just has to get help.
Yep, agreed.
So hopefully this is it, and the judge has ruled that as part of whatever happens going forward that he does have to get an evaluation, and hopefully that, like I said, starts him on the right path because he needs it.
Somebody said the greatest French war hero of all time. The toughest French person ever, Joan of Arc, a 14-year-old girl. So tell me why I was scared of two French dudes at the table behind me in a Starbucks playing Call of Duty on their iPhones with fur coats on. Tell me again where the threat was. What was my threat level?
Napoleon was physically intimidating, wasn't he? Was he like 4'9"?
Yeah. They named a complex after him. He was so small. Joan of Arc, toughest French person ever. I'm good.
I like Nick's idea. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
People are like, what? Nick, really? He's called the muscles right when I said from that, Brussels.
I'm pretty sure the text line blew out. Like,
they were like, bro, his nickname is the muscles from Brussels.
He definitely got big and strong on some croissants. So
the muscles from I never that's remember him being.
I didn't know that either.
He's not too bright.
I'm not a huge Jean-Claude Van Damme fan.
Yeah, I don't really watch movies with men. He's not too bright though. I don't normally do that. Yeah,
I think in interviews. And
me neither.
He's not the sharpest.
I don't watch those.
I will say that video of him on two 18-wheelers doing the splits, that was impressive.
My favorite is him dancing. Have you seen those videos?
No. Or maybe I have and I don't remember.
I'm going to tweet it out. I'm going to find it.
His acting is terrible.
Yes.
All right, two in the books, 1 hour to go. 60 minutes on the clock. We come back. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.